Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
You guys get bored by baseball.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball is
baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
All right, the voice in the face of the Philadelphia Phillies. There's no better time to have on Nick Punto than this, really. I mean, you're past, last time we talked to you, you were wrestling with your friendship with Skip Schumacher. And now you're all in on the Philadelphia Phillies, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough to, you know, the Phillies versus the Marlins. And you know, in our last one, like you said, I'm pulling for Skip Schumacher. But then I also have the blood ties with the Philadelphia Phillies who gave me my first shot. So now I get to be full speed ahead and just enjoying the show, man. They are so fun to watch.
They are good. They are good. And I'm glad you're on because you know what it's like to march through the postseason. When you watch them, because Nick, I said this, I think, to you before, when I was around them, it was like, okay, you know, I got the vibes. I got the 30 somethings guys peaking right in the career, good clubhouse, all of it. I mean, you've gone through down that road. You know what's what when it comes to, is this going to work or isn't this going to work, right?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, on that subject, what are your thoughts on the whole Arcia and Harper?
Oh,
is that
all right? Hey, listen, let's do it. This might be the first thing we disagree on ever.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I've been thinking about you ever since the comment happened. I'm like, I want to hear Bradford's take on it.
So
that's you.
I'm going to preface this. It's just me. What do you say? That's me.
Well, I'm just saying that's your world, right? You could.
Oh, like, yeah.
Or, you know, the media side of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the first thing I thought of was I needed the context. So that's an important part of this, is that I needed the context of the environment, you know, because I do think that being in clubhouses, you know, there are times where, hey, if a guy is, you see a conversation and you sort of overhear that conversation and like I know that, that's not happening, right? That's their conversation. Now this isn't what that sounds like.
Yeah.
And I would just say this, Nick, I think that if someone comes in yelling what he did, 9.5 times out of 10, when you're painting a picture in that world, it's going to usually be written about. This wasn't like the sanctity of the clubhouse sort of thing. I don't think. And I'll give you an example. So look at the celebration, the Philly celebration. They're like, you know, F the Braves, whatever. Like everyone's yelling all kinds of stuff. It's all over Twitter. It's all over social media. It is what it is.
Right.
So I understand, like, if you take like player from the player's point of view, the safety and the security of a clubhouse. I get that. I totally get that. And yeah. I don't like when they see somebody having a conversation and they're writing down that without asking. But I think, in to answer your question, I think in this case, it's two different things. I think it's just two different things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to be smarter than to poke the bear, right? Like, you don't, Bryce Harper is a bear that you just don't poke. And, no. And unfortunately for the, you know, Arcia, I know, I'm sure Arcia is a great teammate. You can see his teammates sticking up for him. So I'm sure he's an amazing teammate. And it's just crazy that they did poke that bear. And wow.
Through all of this, Nick, through all of this, this was the most amazing thing. As I tweeted, Harper doesn't get a chance to stare him down unless he hits a home run. He can't stare him down from the dugout. Right. You know, he can stare him down from first base, but who really cares? But only if he hits a home run. And by the way, he hit two. This is the other part about this, which is crazy to me. And I don't blame. I certainly don't blame the Phillies, like, for saying, "Hey, like, screw you," because you talk crap about us. Whatever. I mean, it might not even come out in the press. I mean, maybe they overhear something. So, I mean, I'm sure that you've been on teams where, hey, you hear they said this about us. I don't know if you have, but.
Yeah, I mean, I have one that really carried us through the playoffs, and that was Niger Morgan for Milwaukee back in 2011. And I can't even remember the comments, but it literally poked the entire team. And we kind of just took off from there. It was like, I think it was towards the end of regular season. He just said something about us, and they were way better than us. Like, they were definitely way better than us. I think they won the division by like 10 games. But there was one comment he made that just kind of woke up Chris Carpenter and Albert Pujols and Matt Holliday and myself and all these veteran players, Yachty, like, we're like talking about this Niger Morgan comment. And we kind of just ran with it. So I do understand, like, the Braves side of it. Like, they're smart enough. They're, you know, one of the best teams in baseball. They're smart enough not to poke the bear, but and it still happened. So I understand both sides.
Was it Niger Morgan? Was that like an on the record, like in a story sort of conversation, or was it just like on the side?
You're talking 12 years ago, Bradford. Yeah. Come on. I don't know. It was either on the record or off
all
the
right.
record.
Well, you got wind of it. So, all right. So talk to me about that. Like, tell me about it. Like I said what I said. Like, you're from the player's point of view.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a sanctuary. But if you're running around the clubhouse chanting something, you know there's press around. I mean, it's the playoffs. There's way more press than you've ever seen. And especially in Philadelphia, Boston, or New York, you know there's a ton of press just around. And, you know, it is what it is. It's fun for the fans, I know that.
Well, okay, so speaking of which, I want to ask you this. You know the Phillies fans, like, they're, you know, it's a great fan base. It's great to be at those games and everything else. So you have the image of one of the images from the final game against the Braves is Arcia turning in the dugout, looking back at the fans and talking to the fans. You have Acuña doing the same. Like, how have you ever been in a fan base where that you've had players sort of get wrapped up in what's going on behind the dugout? Like, that doesn't seem like a healthy thing.
No, I mean, and you know what? They're youngish players, right? Arcia and Acuña, they're youngish players. You're going to have to get thick skin when you go to Philadelphia, Boston, New York, and it's a playoff scenario. You have to know that's coming. They're going to say horrible things about your wife and your kids and your mom. Like, it's just part of going into that realm, right? That the 26th man in those cities is so intense, you can't pay attention to it or it will wrap you up.
Have you ever had had to really fend off vicious fans?
I mean, to me, you just smile. Like, when you hear it, you just smile at them. It's literally the worst thing you can do. It almost looks like you don't care, right? So when they say really nasty things to me, you just kind of smile and it kind of goes away. Because if you don't smile or if you do pay attention, it's just going to get worse and they're just going to keep piling on.
So to go back to the Phillies, you have the fan base, you have the clubhouse, you're watching them, you know. You've been in the middle of stuff in Philadelphia and you've been in the middle of stuff in postseason runs. You see them. It's like they're using motivations. You know, they're pushing, like, they're checking off all the boxes. You know,
they are.
It seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, they are dangerous, man. It's crazy to think that one of my favorite postseason baseball players of the last five years is probably Schwarber at the top of that lineup, and he hasn't done anything yet. If you don't think he's going to come out and do something in this next series, you're crazy. He's built for the playoffs, and he hasn't done anything. And then you got Weaver, Nola, Harper's hot. I mean, it's going to be a really fun series. And you know what? That Diamondbacks team,
yeah,
don't sleep on them. They are fun to watch, and they play the game hard. They play the game right.
Listen, we'll never sleep on the Fighting Lovello. So are you kidding me? Let's go. I mean, yeah. It's the biggest thing, and this is interesting, as you're saying there, because obviously the Marlins, and I don't know if you've talked to Skip about it, but what the Diamondbacks have to do is not – I'm not saying this in a derogatory way, the Marlins, but the Marlins got in their first time playoffs in that crowd. That mm-hmm. is – even. I mean, we saw it with the Braves. The Braves have been there before, and they get in that middle of that environment. This for the Diamondbacks, this isn't going to be the Dodger Stadium. I mean, you played at Dodger Stadium too. This isn't going to be that. It's going to be a totally different thing, right?
Yep. Yeah, it is. It is a totally different thing. Yes, they played at Dodger Stadium. Unbelievable fan base, but it's kind of in your division. It's on the West Coast. The whole country's not paying attention because you're West Coast baseball. Everybody's asleep. You know, the game starts then. So, yeah, they played in some intense games, but nothing like the one they're going to face on Sunday Night Baseball. Sunday night prime time. I can't wait.
Oh, no, it's Monday. Monday. Monday night prime. Better. You're going to be this. Hey, NFL. Hey, NFL, screw you.
Yeah.
what's your most memorable? We have these moments of where we see. This is one of the Citizens Bank Park things, right? Where turn down the sound, look at the crowd. Stott hits the grand slam. Harper hits the home run. This and that. For you, what was like the moment? What was the? Where did the Nick Punto heart rate reach its pinnacle in the postseason? That moment so where you're far. Coming out of your skin.
Oh, probably early on that Bryson Stott grand slam. Like, it was just cool to see that. Like,
no, I mean, for you.
Oh, for me personally.
Yeah. Where you're like, I can't believe I'm here and this is happening. And I'm not talking about clinching something.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was 2011 and World Series. We are down by that game's so long. Game six of the World Series. It's like 5.5 hour game. But anyways, Tony La Russa comes up to me. I'm kind of the veteran on the bench at the time. He walks up to me. He says, "Hey, if this doesn't go our way, make sure you're out here to come thank the fans. Get all the players to come out here and thank the fans." Like, this is during game six of the World Series. Really? And it's like almost the manager doesn't believe we can come back at this point. So I'm like, just that comment was like, oh my gosh, this stinks. And then, of course, David Freese comes up with that triple off the wall, and we tie the game and then go on to win the game. Unbelievable. That was it for me, because I was already like,
I can't believe Tony thinks of everything. Like,
he thinks of everything. Yeah.
What is happening? All right. So another thing, this is a very important thing. I think we did this with Gomes, which was like the anatomy of a clinching celebration. The anatomy of a clinching celebration. I think that you were pretty good at it. I'm not, you know, I think that you were pretty good at it. The first off is that what is, for you, what is protocol when you go through this?
Protocol for me is I got to make sure that none of my players get hurt. Like, so I'm like super careful in the dog pile. I don't want anybody twisting ankles, because without those guys, Nick Punto couldn't be a World Series champ. So I'm like protecting those guys a little bit. You just want to get off the field into the clubhouse as soon as you can. I was a big no goggles guy.
Oh, you know, feel the burn. Feel the burn.
Like, yeah, you deserve it. Feel it. You know, maybe after a little while, if the party keeps going and you're still playing with champagne and beer and all that, maybe you put them on later. But I want you, the initial celebration, I want no goggles in the room and I want everybody to feel it.
That is awesome. So you've been through a few of them. And this is a weird thing, right? People don't understand how long and how hard it is to get to that point. And that's why you celebrate playoff bursts. And that's why you celebrate first rounds. And that's why you celebrate the next round. And, I mean, can you explain that where, because supposedly, well, you, hey, you just did this beer champagne celebration a couple of days ago. Why are you doing it again? Because it's hard.
Yeah.
You know?
That's exactly right. It was Jim Thome actually told me that. I remember in 2009 with the Minnesota Twins, we kind of clinched super early, and it was when we actually clinched, meaning we clinched early in the season, but the night we clinched, it was like extra innings. It was like going into the 1 o'clock hour, and all us veterans are just like, oh my gosh, like I want to go home, go to bed, right? Like, cause we already knew we were going to the playoffs cause how ahead we were. Right. And Tommy says, you know what? We have to man up and just do it because there's somebody in this room that hasn't done it yet and we can't cheat them. We're doing it for them. And that meant a lot. I just got goosebumps. And that meant a lot. Like, and I took that with me from that year on. Like, no, you got to man up and do it for the guy who hasn't done it, or for maybe it's our last time doing it.
Can you look around the room and see guys who especially haven't gone through it and be like, oh,
like absolutely,
that's where it
absolutely ends, right? And that's what gives you the inspiration, right? At 1 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday night and we have to play the next day, the inspiration is looking across the room and seeing that guy that's just like, he's got green in his eyes and he can't wait to pop bottles. And that's what gives you the inspiration.
so Gobes had the story of almost killing someone in the showers with a fire hydrant, or not fire hydrant, fire extinguisher. Oh. So, which doesn't seem like a wise move in healing. I can tell this story now because the Dodgers are out of it, and I don't know if Joe's coming back on, but Joe Kelly told me, he's like, he was saying in the podcast we were doing after they clinched the division, and he was standing on the side. He's like, my arm was hurting, so I went back into the back room, put my shirt under some hot water and put it back on. Cause I just, like, I was exhausted. Like, I didn't want to get killed. I'm like, which is a veteran move, right? You're like, hey, look, I'm already wet. Like, what's going on? So I don't know if you got any good stories, like anyone just going off the rails or you getting someone or anything like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, the smartest thing that my teammates ever did to me is like my celebratory ways. Like, say we clinched, we've already done the party. Maybe we're on the team bus. The shredder might come out and just start shredding people's dress shirts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So one of my teammates, Kyle Loesch, you know, he would unbutton his shirt like all the way to the floor. Just so, like, as I walked by him on the bus, like, I would realize, oh, I already shredded him. Like, especially if it's a late one and you're, you know, maybe you're on a 5 hour, 6 hour flight. that's the veteran play. Just take the shirt, unbutton it, and then I'll think I already got you.
by the way, if I do nothing, you know, I know they have this song, Dancing on Our Own, and they have, you know, the Arcia motivation. This has to come back to Philadelphia for the last couple of rounds. Or not come back, but be immersed from St. Louis, Boston. The shredding, the shredder. You have to stand. I'm going to fly you to Philadelphia and to stand on top of the Liberty Bell or whatever they do in Citizens Bank. Ooh. And just be like, let's go.
That would be awesome. That would be cool. Maybe I'll call Middleton and tell him he needs that.
Oh yeah. Well, or he could do it himself. And it's an homage.
That would be awesome. I'm going to tell him to do that for sure.
Oh, all right.
Middleton would do it too. He is awesome. You see him the other day?
Yeah.
He jumps on the dugout, starts throwing baseballs at all the fans.
Yeah, I just met him like at the clubhouse, and he's in the middle of it, man. Like, that's what you want the owner. You're like, this is
so cool.
And I want to say to him, I said, what other existence in life, you know, you are successful in business and everything, do you get a chance to do this? And I want every owner to understand that. Every owner understand that. Yeah, okay, you know what? You might lose some money, but who cares? It's life.
Yeah.
Right? Like, all right, last thing. Last thing. I know you're going to get going. I need your picks. All right, ready? Are you ready? Feel
I'm ready.
In? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to start with the American League. The Astros are the favorites over the Rangers. They're minus 148. Rangers are plus 126. Who do you got? How many games?
Oh, gosh. This is an absolute war. But I think I'm going to go with my MVP will be Eovaldi and the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
Okay. Texas Rangers are going to they're going to beat them in seven. But that's only if you can pitch around Yordan and don't let Bregman get hot. This could be an absolute war, but I'm going to go with my boy Corey Seager having a great. He's going to get pitched too because the guy behind him is absolutely on fire right now. What's that kid's name? Just in my mind for Texas, the kid is
Jordan Montgomery. Oh no, the pitcher,
the left-handed hitter behind Seager.
Josh Young.
Young's a stud too. I feel bad. This kid needs some love. He's absolutely crushing it.
Adolis.
Right. Wow, is he good too, though? Yeah. I mean, it's just a war. Like, look at those two teams.
The Rangers are hitting crap out of the ball, and they are pitching just enough. And by the way, like, we had on Brock Holt the other day, like, just to like give the hey, this poor one out for Nathan Eovaldi, because we talked about this before. It's like when you get a stud pitcher, man, when you know the pitcher's going to win, like Chris Carpenter, you know, like.
Yeah. It's the offense can now just go and just freewheel it. Like, it is so huge to know you have a horse out there.
Yeah. All right. So you're picking the Rangers at seven. All right. I know who you're going to pick in this, but we'll do it anyway. Phillies minus 166, Diamondbacks plus 140. How many games? How many games are you picking the Phillies?
Phillies in six. I think the Snakes are going to, they're not going to be afraid. They're going to come and they're going to find a way to win a game maybe in Philadelphia, and they'll win one in Arizona.
Okay. Now, World Series, you have the Phillies and the Rangers.
Picked that last week. I picked Phillies Rangers with you, didn't I?
Yeah. So, here we go. Phillies over the Rangers plus 550. Rangers over the Phillies, same. So anyway, who do you got? That's a fun series.
Oh my goodness! The rest of the playoffs is intense, and I can't wait to watch it all. I'm gonna go Philadelphia in. Who has home field advantage?
I think the Phillies do. No, I gotta check.
Yeah,
I should know.
Is it still to do with the All-Star game? That's how.
No, that was awful.
Now it's record, right?
That was awful.
We stopped doing that. Okay, I'll go. I'll go Phillies in seven.
Okay, I'm just looking at better regular season record, so I'll have to check on that.
Yeah,
I'm not prepared. All right. So, and the last thing is you said Phillies in what, six or seven?
Seven. We'll go seven.
All right. World Series MVP.
World, you want
to know the favorites? Harper +850. Alvarez, isn't it? So of the guys that would be in it, Harper, Seager +1300. Trey Turner +1800. I like that. Cassianos +1800. Schwarber +2200. Oh, I know. Evan Carter.
Yeah. Are you kidding me with him?
Yeah.
No, they're like, we can't pitch to Corey Seager. We'll try this kid. And he's absolutely lightning.
Yeah. He's a stud. Yeah. So who do you got? So if you have Phillies are winning, who do you got for the MVP?
I'm going, I'm going big game Schwarber. I am. I absolutely love him. His teammates love him. He is just awesome, man. Schwarber, good luck, bro.
Yeah. All right. Let it be said. Let it be done. You came through again, man. You offer the perspective that nobody else can. Thanks.
You bet, man.